Hey Franks, it's Monday, July 21st, 2014. Coming up on the program today, Frankie the weatherman has officially lost it. Plus, retards on film, scrotal injuries, and an elite squad of detectives investigating the worst cock-related crimes. All of this plus your voicemails today on the Distorted View Show.
Try new peanut butter AIDS.
Twitter sheet.
Drunken Negro face cookies.
And I love the aftertaste of semen in my mouth.
Tim Henson reeks of anus.
Why does man have to have such a sweet rectum?
Ma'am, step back. Step back.
All right. Hey, guys. Tim Henson with you. Back to kick off a new week of programs. I'm just glad to be back here in Columbus. This past weekend, I was up in the shithole that is known as Ashtabula, my hometown. It's about 3 hours northeast of Columbus. I was there to help my mom get a new car. She's been rolling around Ashtabula in a 14-year-old Chevy Cavalier, and it's getting rusted and giving her a bunch of problems and stuff. So she didn't want to go through another winter, another harsh northeast Ohio winter in an old car. So I helped her pick out a new car, and that was pretty painless. Aside from the fact that my mom is old and doesn't understand technology, and there's been a lot of advancements in automotive technology in the past decade. Things that now come standard in cars confuse her. Like the fact that she doesn't have to use her key to get in the door. There, you know, you just press a button on your little key fob, it'll unlock the door. This blew her mind. And I realize this technology existed back in 2001 when she had the Cavalier. But my dad was always big on buying new cars. He didn't like to buy used, which is a fuck-witted thing to do because, you know, it's a waste of money. But he would buy a new car but just get the lowest model, the cheapest base model that had absolutely nothing. So the concept of power locks and power windows and power steering, no, not power steering, but, you know, things that every car pretty much has now was foreign to her. So we spent a good 15, 20 minutes trying to teach mom the skill of double tapping to unlock all the doors. You know, you hit unlock once, it unlocks the driver's side door. You hit two, and it unlocks everything. Then when you lock the door, you hit the lock button on the key fob. But then if you hit it like two or three times, it'll sound the horn and the alarm to let you know that everything has been locked. So if you're far away, I don't know why I'm explaining it to you guys. You guys understand how the fucking cars work now, but my mom doesn't. And that's what we were doing in the pouring goddamn rain this Saturday. It was awful. And when I say we, I'm talking about me and the car salesman. And the car salesman was some daffy-ass broad that my mom actually knew from a previous job. I guess they worked together at the drug mart. And my mom said she was dumb back then. She didn't even know how many eggs came in a dozen. She was confused by that. Like, that gives you a good idea of where she's at mentally. And boy, could this bitch talk. You know, the whole process of buying a car really wasn't that difficult. My mom has good credit. You know, she's retired, so she's got that, like, income, Social Security, and all that other shit coming in, right? So they know how much she makes. She was approved, but just waiting around for the financing and the bank and all this shit. We were there for like 4 hours, and this girl talked nonstop. I learned all about her, her biracial children, her black boyfriend, her grandmother who says racist things, but she's not really racist. She's got a good heart, but she'll say things to her like, "Hey, does your daughter have that nappy black hair? Is that something she inherited from the coon you married?" All right, I don't know about the coon part, but she was asking about the nappy hair. And the other thing that pissed me off about this girl, really, it was just more annoying because I know exactly how this happened. She gets on Facebook and just believes everything that's posted. She started talking about weed. Yes, my 70-plus-year-old mom is buying a car, and the car salesman is talking to us about weed. She said, "Did you know weed is now legal?" And I said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, like in Colorado. And I think for like medicinal marijuana is legal in New York now or something." She's like, "No. I read that it's legal everywhere now." And then she told me, "Did you know starting in August you have to be 25 to drink?" yeah, they're raising the legal age. And I said, that doesn't sound right at all. She said, no, I read it. And I knew exactly where she read it. Fucking Facebook. As a matter of fact, that night I got on Facebook just to, you know, check my stuff. And someone posted that same bullshit. I've asked people about it. And I said, why did you post this? And they're like, it's from Google. And I'm like, look at the URL. It's from Google-wire-news24.org. You know, it's just some crazy URL. Just because it has the word Google in it, it's not Google. I'm going to have to start unfriending you idiots who do that. All right, speaking of idiots, Frankie the Weatherman is someone we've featured many times on DV. He's actually back with a new warning.
This is Frankie McDowell, my old TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Typhoon Matt Moe is now heading for Taiwan on Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. It's going to bring up to 50-plus millimeters of rain. It's going to be winds gusting up to over 100 miles per hour.
All right, he's talking about a typhoon that's going to hit Taiwan on July 23rd. I like Frankie because he's excited about the weather. And when he's screaming at you, you know, you think to yourself, oh my God, I better pay attention. This is important information coming in. You wouldn't need the emergency broadcast system here in the United States if we had Frankie. You turn on your television and you hear someone screaming at you like this.
Typhoon's moving north-northwest right now, and the wind shear is very low, and the Pacific Ocean waters are very warm.
You're going to pay attention to that. Now, I'm kind of upset with Frankie because up until now, he's been very serious about the weather. I felt like you could trust what he had to say, and then he posts this today.
Okay, guys, let's do some cloudy, then raining pizzas.
What?
Oh, it's such a nice day, but it's hot, sunny day right now. I better go for a walk since it's beautiful outside. And the skies are blue. And the birds are flying up in the sky. I can see clouds up in the sky. It's clouding over now. It's thunder and lightning outside. I better get out my umbrella.
Okay, he's popping open his umbrella.
Oh my God, it's raining pizzas! Oh my God!
If there was any question as to whether or not Frankie was retarded, I think we have our answer here.
It's raining pizzas! Oh my God, more rain! It's getting heavier with pizzas! Oh my God, look at the pizzas falling in! It's raining pizzas! Oh
okay.
My God,
all
it's
right.
Getting heavier! It's falling harder! It's heavy pizzas!
I hate to say it, but I think Frankie the Weatherman has jumped the shark here.
It's raining pizzas even more. Oh my God.
It seems to happen to all the U-tards. Like, you remember Fat Man? He would retire and then come out of retirement. That's kind of when he started to jump the shark. That's when we lost interest in him. Because he would come back and then just retire again after one 30-second video. And I feel like this is sort of the same thing. Frankie doing funny weather reports. Pizza's raining on him or something. All right, thank you, Frankie. You've disappointed me. Go to your corner and think about what you've done. Hey, last week on the show, it may have been a Sideshow exclusive program, we went through an entire gay porn minus the gay sex. I was really just focused on the plot and the acting. Well, today I've got another example of this for you. This is from the 2005 gay porn CSI. Not Crime Scene Investigators. Cock Scene Investigators. Los Angeles, Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. There's a naked body on the street, ass up.
What the fuck?
So, the Cock Scene Investigator is making a huge mistake. You're not supposed to touch the body. But he's rubbing his hands all along the naked body. There's a condom on his ass. So he just picks that up and is looking at it. Is that filled? Is there cum in that condom?
Wouldn't hurt to take a look.
And by that he means I'm going to flip him over and look at how big his penis is.
Oh, the Cock Scene Investigators.
All right, so the victim is still alive. And he knows that, you know, you got to call the Cock Scene Investigators because this is their division. This is their jurisdiction or something.
Call the Cock Scene Investigators.
think that's Roy Killer War.
Yeah, Coxine Investigators.
All right, so the guy who was walking up to the body isn't part of the CSI crew. He's just a random dude. I see. Now I understand why he was fondling the man's butt. Wanted to check out his cock.
Yeah, Coxine Investigators.
Well, before the investigation actually starts, we get a little bit of background info on how the Coxine Investigators came to be.
I am Harry Hard, the Coxine Investigator. Hard CSI for short. I was a decorated police officer until I was outed by a homophobic police commissioner. Apparently, he didn't want me to tell people about his frequent incognito bathhouse visits. What he shoves in his ass is his business. After I left the force, I started my own private investigation firm, specializing in using forensic techniques to solve gay, sex-related crime cases.
See, the problem here is I don't think he's a very good businessman. Why are you limiting yourself just to gay sex crimes? Like, the method to solve straight sex crimes would be very similar. And you're opening yourself up to way more business that way. Whatever. All right, so this guy is collecting evidence that was on the dude's body, like the condom. He puts it in a little plastic bag. Also found a double-sided dildo and some lube. Come to find out, the victim here is the commissioner, the same homophobic commissioner that fired the main character here. So now he has to investigate this little rape crime here.
When the commissioner woke up, he told me that someone must have drugged him last night while he was at the fault line. Now, what's a homophobic cocksucker like him doing at a nice gay Silver Lake bar?
Probably sucking cock.
I'm dying to hear his answer. He remembers talking to some stud named Parker, and he left with him to see the dungeon room. Yeah, the fucking tea and cookies are around here somewhere. I guess the story is this Parker guy...
That's investigator lingo. I'm gonna find me some tea and cookies.
...slipped him a roofie and fucked the shit out of that tight-ass fuckwad in this dungeon room. Hell, somebody should find that Parker guy and give him a fucking medal.
Now, the investigators, guy and his partner, are collecting evidence here in this dungeon room from in the bar. And the main character ties up his partner, like, shows him how the handcuffs work and everything. And then the partner's like, okay, you can let me go. And, the main character here says no.
All right, you can let me out.
Excuse me?
You can let me out.
I don't think so.
And he just starts kissing the guy.
Partner, I've been wanting to sex you up for a long time.
What are you talking about?
Talking about this.
So then the investigator forces himself on this poor man who's restrained, which is kind of ironic because he's a Coxine investigator. He investigates gay sex crimes, and he's committing one right now against his partner. The best scene of this film, in my opinion, takes place in the CSI crime lab a day later. Take a listen.
Hey. Hey, Harry. This is what we know. It's a standard dildo, and you can get it in a sex shop. Nothing special, but get this job done.
Everyone here has a really thick accent, or can't act, or talks way too fast. This guy's talking about a double dildo. It's a double dildo. You can get it anywhere, any sex shop.
All right. This lube, on the other hand, it's not your typical 99-cent lube. It's actually quite rare and expensive.
A rare, expensive lube.
You either be rich or...
He got it from an ancient Mayan temple, I think. This all of a sudden turns into like an Indiana Jones film. What the hell are they talking about? This is a very rare and exotic type of lube. This is how we're gonna nab the perp.
This lube, on the other hand, it's not your typical 99-cent lube. It's actually quite rare and expensive. You either be rich or using it with a favorite mark, not some random trick.
So this lube is not one you would just use for like, anonymous sex. You would save this lube for someone you love.
Save the best for last. There's no semen in this condom. It's been used and lots of lube is on it. It's been stretched out like a dildo.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Yep. Our favorite police prick was set up. He was fucked over, that is, but never up the ass.
So they just roofied this guy and made it look like he took it up the ass. Good job, Coxine investigators, but we're not done yet.
But you look up this picture. our commissioner got one hell of a blow job. See? His dick is chafed and raw. But his hole was never penetrated. Someone chopped the used condom up his ass. Nothing else was chopped.
My God, the music is so loud and the acting is so bad and foreign sounding. I can't understand anything going on here. I guess it doesn't matter. I do have to call into question their professionalism, because after revealing all of this, this happens.
God damn it. Did you see those pictures of the commissioner? He may be a prick, but he's as hot as hell. That cock must be about 11 inches long.
Fuck yeah. Makes me hot. Makes me look exhausted.
I was thinking, why don't we all recreate the crime scene?
That's a good idea. That might help us crack the case. The final scene is where the crime scene investigator confronts the commissioner and says, look, you were never raped. I mean, you willingly got a blowjob, probably, but you were never fucked in the ass.
How are you doing here?
I knew I'd find you in this sleazy motel. Let me tell you, the good news is that you weren't fucked up the ass. The bad news is you had hot sex with some guy.
No, I was drugged and raped. I'm not a homosexual deviant like you.
Come on, asshole. The jig is up. Let me tell you what happened. You went to the fault line looking for cock. You found a hot guy and took him to the dungeon. You were looking because you brought your own specialized lube. Who takes lube to a bar unless they're looking to fuck?
I'm raising my hand here. I don't know if you can see me.
After you and this Parker guy got done, he slipped you something to knock you out.
No, no, you got this all wrong. I am not a sexual deviant.
And then, by the way, at the end, they have sex. The crime scene investigator and this commissioner, whom they hate each other, but they have sex anyway. Whatever. That's gay porn for you. Finally, before we get into the news, I've discovered a treasure trove of mentally handicapped YouTube uploads. This is from an account, Shoot Your Mouth Off Films, and they work solely with retarded people to make music videos, comedy sketches, movies, soap operas, shit like that, right? So I've got a couple examples here of their work. First up is a cover of My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, as sung by a window licker.
See you, I'll be you, back on and show you, we call.
Those aren't the words right there. The lyrics were, at first I thought she was singing this in a different language, because the words on the screen don't match up with what she's singing. She's supposed to say, that is how I know you go on, right? Let's hear her version.
Back on and show you record.
Something about showing you record.
Back was the distance.
Now we're back on track.
The basis between us. You come and show you go on.
It wasn't quite right, but she's close at least.
What's more, you open the door, I to leave my heart dead, my heart to leave the woman's door.
All right, good enough. Thank you. We all get the idea. The video is pretty fantastic, too. There's animated boats, some very high-tech green screen effects. She's singing to a guy, another tard. Oh, fantastic. All right, maybe I'll put a link to this on the show notes or post it on Facebook or something. One more example here. Shoot Your Mouth Off Films produced a, I guess this is like a horror movie. It's called Killer Cure. And in it, a man in a wheelchair is kidnapped by a strange woman intent on curing him of his disabilities with medieval methods. I'm interested. The first scene, of course, is the guy in the wheelchair out on this, you know, sidewalk or whatever. And this crazy woman comes, grabs the wheelchair, you know, starts pushing him. All right, the guy in the wheelchair just... I don't know if you can understand him. It's like, thank God there's subtitles here. Who are you? He said. I think he's trying to say, what are you doing? I don't really care what's going on in this movie. I just want to hear this guy talk more. That's supposed to be I'm being kidnapped. I didn't get that from what he was grunting. But okay, I'll take his word for it. No wonder no one's helping him. They can't understand what he's saying.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
What are you saying?
Oh, you're dribbling again, you dead git.
Well, the old lady just put a handkerchief up to his mouth and it's gonna knock him out. Breathe it in. Back in this old hag's lair, the guy, the cripple, wouldn't stop. Maybe there's multiple cripples, I don't know. Won't stop making noises and crying. So she's getting pissed.
Looks like I'm gonna have to be cruel to be kind.
That's when she grabs what looks to be a meat cleaver. Oh no, wait, she grabs the shovel instead. And then. Everything we've wanted to say to retarded people. Fucking cripple. Goddamn spastics. Alright, so she's beating his head with a shovel. Blood is splattering everywhere. That's one way to cure a cripple. Alright, so now we're in a different room now where there's a bunch of retarded people waiting to be killed, I guess. Did you guys get any of that? Could you decipher any of that? Basically, the main character, the guy that was just stolen, just kidnapped, said, "What happened? What's going on?" And they said, "They're the old lady's curing Stan, and they're going to cure you." What do you mean? Why even bother coming up with dialogue for the movie? You can just add it in later in subtitles. Just have him grunt throughout the whole thing. I guess his name was Stan. So she keeps saying that she cured Stan, obviously, by killing him. Okay. He's going to have to find someone else to cure now. He says, "We have to get out of here." And then the female crippled says, "We can't." That's a very defeatist attitude. I think that's quite enough of killer cure for today. Let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted up, fucked up news right now. Not a member of Distorted View Daily? Help support this stupidity by signing up now. It's very inexpensive. Superfreaksideshow.com. Get full access to the entire archive of shows. Plus, every week we do extended programs, exclusive shows, and video casts. You get a lot for $6.99 a month. That's very inexpensive. That's like the cost of a value meal at McDonald's. Tomorrow we'll be doing an extended show. Wednesday we'll have an exclusive program. And then Friday will be another exclusive show. So you really do get your money's worth. Help support Distorted View Daily by signing up and becoming a member now. SuperFreakSideShow.com. Monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, yearly memberships, and lifetime memberships are available. So it's something for everyone's budget. Don't forget, you can also donate to Distorted View. There's a link on DistortedView.com. And we have a store full of great merchandise, t-shirts, posters, coffee mugs, stuff like that. Go to DistortedView.com and check that out. Thank you to everyone who has and continues to support this program. All right. I felt like that was an NPR pledge drive moment right there. Tote bags are coming. Fear not. All right, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. A former Muncie, Indiana woman and her ex-boyfriend on Thursday gave sharply different accounts of the events that led to her tearing his scrotum. Do the stories really matter? Because in the end, there's a torn scrotum involved. That's all you need to know. Christina Lorena Reber, 45, now of Marion, was arrested in March 2012 after she was accused of entering her alleged victim's West Side home, then slapping him three times in the head before she grabbed his scrotum and began squeezing as hard as she could. The alleged victim, now 59, testified on Thursday, when the case finally went to trial, that the resulting scrotal injury resulted in stitches the night of the attack and later reconstructive surgery. Asked to rate his level of pain on a scale of 1 to 10, the man responded, 12. It was excruciating. I was close to blacking out. I felt tearing. Oh, they were coming off my body. I felt my testicles. This is way worse than Killer Cure. This is a real horror story for men. All right. Reber, meanwhile, maintained she acted in self-defense after he became violent during a disagreement. After more than 4 hours of testimony, Delaware Circuit Court Judge Marianne Voorhees... Jesus. You've got Mrs. Voorhees trying this case? This really is a horror movie. After more than 4 hours of testimony, Delaware Circuit Court Judge Marianne Voorhees took the case under advisement, giving lawyers in the case until August 15th to submit their closing arguments in writing. Reber, who waived her right to a jury trial, was at first charged with aggravated battery, a Class B felony carrying a standard 10-year prison term. This week, however, Hoffman reduced that charge to battery, resulting in serious bodily injury, which is a Class C felony. There's a standard 4-year sentence involved with that. The alleged victim testified Thursday that he had ended an on-again-off-again relationship with Reber a few days before the attack. The Muncie man said she stormed into his house, behaving in a very aggressive, very postured, and very intense manner. Yeah, if she ripped your fucking balls off, that's something she was determined to do. You just don't half-ass a scrotal tearing or whatever the hell happened here. All right, she repeatedly slapped him in the face and grabbed his scrotum. I just remember yelling, "Chris, you're hurting me!" The man acknowledged he struck Reber on the top of her head in a bid to force her to release his grip. When she finally did, he said, "I was torn and bleeding." He said Reber refused to call for an ambulance, then fled. More than 2 years later, the man said he still suffers nerve pain as a result of his injury. Her story's a little different, though. She went over to his house, he broke up with her, and he was violent. He cursed at her, grabbed her arms, shook her, threw her against the wall, and after she fell to the floor, began to repeatedly punch her in the head, and that's when she grabbed his cock and balls. Also, I don't think there's any record of her injuries, because she didn't go to the hospital. She said she would be embarrassed because she knew people there. Well, I'm sorry, then you lose, honey. Court is all about proving your case, and if you don't have proof, then you lose, you stupid bitch. This guy has proof. His fucking balls are dangling by a thread. There's some things you just don't do. Testicles are sacred. You know how, like, guys aren't supposed to hit women ever? Well, women, you shouldn't hit guys in the balls ever. Speaking of bad ideas, second story we have for you today. Could a child... I'm sorry. I went up a little too high there. Could a child sex robot treat pedophilia? What could possibly go wrong? During a robotics conference last week, ethicists discussed the moral implications of using childlike robots to help treat pedophilia. What do they mean by when they say treat? Because I'm picturing child robot sex dolls. Is that what we're talking about here? If so, I'm on board. The theory is that these machines would help provide a non-harmful outlet for an individual's sexual inclinations. Oh, okay, so we are talking about robot sex dolls, thank you, as part of a treatment program. It's like providing methadone to heroin addicts. Ronald Arkin, the mobile robot lab director at the Georgia Institute of Technology, was one of the participants at the conference who was in favor of pursuing the idea. He said, "There are no presumptions that this will assuredly yield positive results. I only believe it's worth investigating in a controlled way to possibly provide better protection to society." I don't know, man. I see this as a slippery slope, because what's going to happen is, when robot sex dolls become a thing you can purchase, people are going to start experimenting with little child robot sex dolls, and then they might say to themselves, well, you know, this child robot sex doll, it gives amazing blowjobs. Their tiny little child robotic ass feels amazing. I can only think that a real child's ass would feel even more amazing. I'm going to give this pedophilia thing a try. By the way, I just have to say this. Please don't isolate that audio. I'm going to give this pedophilia thing a try. I'm going to give this pedophilia thing a try. I'm going to give this pedophilia thing a try. By the way, at the end of this article, it's infuriating. They list some comments, people talking about this idea of robot child sex slaves. One comment is this, quote, "As a mom and a woman, I find nothing more vile than child predators." As if guys are like, all right, child predators, fist bump that shit. Want a brewski? All right, yeah, like guys are just befriending child predators or something. "As a mom and a woman, I find nothing more vile than child predators and rapists. And even the idea of using metal and silicone computer humans to reform pedophiles upsets me." Well, what the fuck is your solution? Yes, pedophilia is bad. It's a horrible thing. And the act of doing that to a child is punishable, and you should be sent to jail and all this other fucking shit, right? But what if you're a pedophile, but you haven't acted on it? You're still, you're a mess. Don't get me wrong. There's some stuff going on with you. It's a mental condition. And so why not try ways to rehabilitate them? You know what I'm saying? Like, try to do something so they don't go raping kids left and right. Her suggestion is this, the commenter goes on to say, "I'm not so sure anything can be used to reform these people." But she doesn't like the idea of using computers and robots, that's for sure. Those poor robots are being victimized. All right, "And I've been known to say we should send them all," them being child predators, "to Rat Island, where they can victimize each other." I don't think she understands what the term pedophilia means here. They're not going to find, old men aren't going to find other old men attractive. All right. Where they can victimize each other and eat rats. Wow, what a rational and thought-out comment. That's really going to help researchers. Let's scrap this whole robotic child thing. Mary Sue Blumpkin from Oklahoma has a great idea. Let's just send them all to an island. Problem solved. We can get working on cancer again or something. All right, final story we have for you today. A 44-year-old man visited a hospital with stomach pains and blood in his urine, only to discover he's really a woman, and he's menstruating. No, that is the wrong sound effect. Much better. Well, this happened in China, so it kind of makes sense over there in Yongkang, Xinjiang province. Doctors at the First People's Hospital of Yongkang were stunned after CT scans revealed the apparent man, surnamed Chen, possesses a uterus and ovaries. I bet you the parents had something to do with this. They really, really wanted a boy, and they were going to make it happen. He had short hair and was dressed in man's clothing. "We did not realize he was a female at first," said a doctor. Though doctors also removed the benign adrenal tumor, whatever, causing him abdominal comfort. A chromosome test confirmed Chen's gender and that the blood was from menstruation. Doctors also noted that Chen had no Adam's apple, no facial hair, and a deformed penis. Chen's condition was a result of adrenogenital syndrome or something? Adrenogenital syndrome? A disorder that affects the normal development of genitals and other gender characteristics. I think I suffer from that. The syndrome can be treated with hormone supplements if detected early. This guy is 44 years old. I wouldn't call that early. I think he's a lost cause. Chen told doctors he's been married to his wife for 10 years and has not had trouble performing sexually. I'm guessing the couple does not have any kids, though. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Monday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, would love to hear from you guys. Call into the voicemail line, say hi, 206-666-4463. I'm also looking for some reviews and ratings on iTunes and Stitcher. However you're listening to Distorted View, if you use Stitcher, you can rate us and review us over there. iTunes, you can rate us and review us. If you like the show, prove it, please. Thank you.
Harry Urethra here. Tim, the other day a woman called in talking about wanting to sing a song and the voice of a deaf person.
Yes.
And you suggested the song Pompeii, a song that's all over the radio. Tim, you still listen to the radio? I have never been so disgusted with a faggot before.
This is what people get upset with me over, because I make comments like that. Yeah, the song Pompeii is all over the radio. I'm sorry, it just is. And not that I have to defend myself to you, but I do, because you called in, attacking me. I don't necessarily listen to the radio a lot, but anytime it comes on, the goddamn Pompeii is playing. And I have to know these. I'm supposed to know what songs are popular, because that's what I'm paid to do. What if I want to do a karaoke version of a popular song? How would I know what's popular right now? I don't have to explain myself to you. You're getting me all worked up. I don't have a good heart.
Tim, Sideshow member TJ from Chicago. Okay, so the other day I went to my local library, and at my library, you know, right when...
You still go to the library, you fucking faggot!
When you walk in, Sorry. They have this section where
books?
Basically they're just giving away these old books.
Right,
that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They don't have room for or whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I look at them occasionally because, you know, sometimes they have some good stuff. And... So the other day, I found this book, and I took it, and it's called Life in the Family, An Oral History of the Children of God by James E. Chancellor.
Oh!
And this is a book that's basically all about
the cult.
That cult that you've been talking about on the show for the past, you know, years, about, you know, the guys who, when they have sex, they imagine themselves having sex with Jesus. It's a whole book all about these fucking crazy people.
Look in the back. Is there an index? Look up love words. See if they go into the love words with Jesus. You're supposed to use certain words when you're fucking and pretending Jesus is having sex with you.
And so they,
come in me, Jesus. Give me your holy seed, Jesus.
They do all these interviews of ex-cult members, and they go into the history and all the fucked up things that they do and they believe. It's really fucking crazy.
Oh, good.
And yeah, if you want it, I know you're not like a huge reader, but...
Who says?
A book about the Family International or the Children of God or whatever the fuck they called.
Yeah, I mean, when you're done with it, send it along to me. I'll read it.
Hey, Timmy Boo, it's Trippy Jackalope or Alex from Pittsburgh, whatever you want to call me. I just got another golden nugget for you. I don't know if there's any other episodes you were playing these on, but I'm sure there were. But if you remember the 8-track tapes that you had for the Truckers.
Yes.
The cool thing is, the one I chose was... The one on January 31st, 2010, and look up that one, and you've got a hilarious thing that I think would piss off everybody on Tumblr or anything like that, and would easily put you some, give you some more exposure on the internet. It was one where you get some coke. There was something in the coke. And your motto was, here's a good motto for all you guys. Rave a bitch. It might...
What the fuck is he saying? Is he speaking English?
Rape a bitch, then rape a bitch.
Rape a bitch?
All right, Timmy Boo. Talk to you later.
That's right. I advocate rape on Distorted View. Man up, freaks.
Hey, Tim. This is Randy Bachman from BTO calling back in again, because you cut me off the last time, you fruity little bastard. First off, you said I sound like Tan Tanisgore. You mean that monkey guy who calls in?
Yes.
No, that's not me. I hate that guy. He ordered a BTO bobblehead from me off eBay. He jewed me on the shipping and then gave me a bad seller rating. Fuck that monkey douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
Second, what I didn't get to tell you is that now our secret's out about BTO loving hardcore gay pornography and the whole gay thing's a little bit more mainstream. I wanted to send you a personal invitation to join BTO on our reunion tour at the main stage of the Ohio Corn Festival this summer, where we're going to debut our cover of Jeff Stryker's masterpiece, Pop Him in the Pooper.
Oh.
BTO forever, baby. We'll see you there.
I gotta be honest with you, I don't really know what anyone is talking about today on the voicemail line. I'm just sort of going along with it. But in case you're wondering what Pop You in the Pooper was, here's just a little bit of that.
For a guy who's straight, man, your butt feels great. Don't worry, I'll never tell. When we meet next time, maybe you'll try mine. But for now, let's hear you yell. Buddy, until I hear you squeal. If it hurts first, that'll pass and then.
Alright.
You'll see it's no big deal.
That's enough, thank you.
Doggy style, so get on your paws. Yeah, turn around.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jeff Stryker. Gay porn icon. That's all the time we have on this edition of the show. Why don't you guys email me? Show@distortedview.com. This StoryView.com is our official website. Voicemail line 48 206-666-4463. That's 206-660. God, is it okay?
Yeah, Coxine Investigators.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. I'll see you guys back tomorrow for the Tuesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, Ramada.
The guy, he's in the dirty underwear or something. I don't know. He's sniff free.